We're being overwhelmed with children that are in foster care. We're out.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 44 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We're being overwhelmed with children that are in foster care. We're out there trying to find families for those children.
Kentucky's Health and Family Services Secretary says that parental drug abuse is causing the number of children in foster care to skyrocket.
The mayor of Ashland says his city was spared from the worst of after a severe weather storm moved through the region last week.
And a West Virginia manufacturing plant is closing down.
In sports, the Moorhead State baseball team is finishing up their series with the Southeast Missouri State.
Well, Luke has a stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 20. We'll take a complete look at that forecast after this news.
The city of Olive Hill has received a grant of more than $240,000 from the Appalachian Regional Commission. The money will be used to repair and replace components from its aging water system. After two studies, it was shown that Olive Hill was losing close to half of its water it distributes because of corroded piping. State officials say the repairs will include 7,400 feet of new PVC pipe and new fire hydrants. They add that should provide additional capacity and stabilize water volume.
One man is in jail after a raid in Ironton. According to WSAZ, 34-year-old Isaac Hannon was arrested after police found heroin, digital scales, and marked money were during a search of his home in the 1500 block of South 5th Street. Hannon is charged with trafficking in drugs. His court date has been set for March 13th.
Opioid abuse in Kentucky is causing the number of children in foster care to swell. That's according to the Secretary of the State Cabinet for Health and Family Services. Vicki Glisson testified this week before a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort.
We now have over 8,000 children that are sitting in foster care. We know that over 60% of those children that are in foster care, and we're continuing to try to refine this number, but we know that drugs were a direct or indirect cause for those children to be in foster care.
Glisson also says another 1,200 Kentucky kids were diagnosed last year with neonatal abstinence syndrome because of drug abuse by their parents.
Powerful winds, possibly a tornado, caused some damage to a county jail in western Kentucky on Thursday. The story from KNN's Ted Werben.
Reports say the storm hit the dispatch center for the Fulton County Sheriff's Office, and because of the damage, the office has been moved. Inmates were moved to a facility in nearby Hickman County. According to the Fulton County Emergency Management, county schools are closed today because of storm damage and power outages. Kentucky State Police say they responded to Hickman to help with search and rescue efforts. So far, no injuries have been reported. I'm Ted Werben.
Ashland's mayor says his city was spared any significant damage to its infrastructure when fierce straight-line winds swept through the region last week. Steve Gilmore says trees usually come down in Central Park during a windstorm, but that didn't happen this time.
I live in South Ashland. I noticed very little of anything, you know, blowing anywhere. So the city escaped that, but I'd never seen power poles bent down to the ground coming up off the viaduct near the mall. I'd never seen that before in my life, so that was some kind of wind.
Many utility poles were blown down in neighboring Ironton, and at least one street near there had to be closed for a time until they could be cleared from the pavement.
Three Ironton firefighters can rest easy for now. That's after city residents made their voices heard at a Thursday night meeting to discuss the issue. They overwhelmingly oppose the furloughs, according to WSAZ. This problem started with the town's $100,000 budget shortfall problem. The mayor of Ironton proposed laying off three firefighters as a solution. Mayor Katrina Keith says she only suggested the layoffs because that was the only option given to her.
My budget was tossed back to me saying it's not worth the paper that it's printed on, and go figure it out because we're not going to raise rates.
City council members said they're open to raising taxes or fees to generate additional income and keep the firefighters on the payroll.
The Kentucky Senate is now considering a bill that would require student athletes with concussions to be cleared by a physician before returning to play. Fulton County Democrat Jim Sims Jr. sponsors House Bill 241, which has already passed through the House and Senate and a Senate committee. He says the bill would make law what is already recommended by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association.
I think it's just a good bill to keep our youth safe. and to watch out for them, because it seems like concussions are becoming more and more noticeable, you know, especially professional sports. You know, football would be number one concussion, because they can occur if you don't catch them, causes permanent damage over the long haul if you just keep getting hit and have a concussion. It's for their safety and their health, you know, in the future.
The bill now requires approval from the Senate.
The Kentucky Senate's Education Committee yesterday put its stamp of approval on House Bill 128. The bill would allow Bible literacy classes to be taught as electives in public schools. State Senator Steve West represents Rowan and surrounding counties. He told the other members of the panel that many students don't realize just how much religious documents have influenced history.
We should never be afraid of learning and free expression and additional learning about any religion, a religion or any religion. We should be happy to learn about religion maybe in other places besides church. I think this is a good bill.
The bill now moves to the full Senate.
Enrollment in Morehead State University's winter session is up from last year, which may mean an expansion of its offerings. The winter session was introduced in 2015, and it was announced Thursday at MSU's Board of Regents meeting that enrollment had more than doubled in 2016, with 544 students attending winter session courses. MSU President Wayne Andrews says winter session classes help students.
We're trying to offer courses that will support students that are, you know, working on the pathway to move through the university that will be helpful to them. So that's a real positive thing. And then in addition to that, it's a new revenue stream for the university, because once you net out the cost of instruction and the like, there's money that goes back to the general fund that supports all the things that we do.
Andrews adds that increased enrollment means that more classes can be offered in the 2017 winter session. Enrollment numbers for the regular fall and spring semesters are down slightly for the 2016-17 academic year, with 182 fewer students attending this year.
Entry-level youth workers at the Kentucky Department of Juvenile Justice can expect a 20% pay increase next month. Governor Matt Bevin made the announcement yesterday.
We are going to, starting in April, increase the compensation for starting entry-level folks that are called, there's names to these, the Youth Worker 1 entry-level position.
Bevin says the raise is an effort to show appreciation to those who sometimes perform a thankless task. Starting salaries for youth workers at the department have stagnated at $11.25 hourly for the past several years, resulting in 100% turnover and recruiting difficulties.
Maysville City Commission gave final approval Thursday to an ordinance upping the city's insurance tax rate. MSBR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the second reading of the ordinance increasing the tax from 7 to 8% passed by a 4-1 vote. Officials said a 1% increase would add $150,000 in much-needed revenue to city coffers, as well as that the tax on life insurance premiums are for the first year of policy only. Commissioners discussed a proposal to absorb the utility commission into the city. Mayor David Cartmell said the city could save up to $100,000 in 2 years if the utility commission becomes a city department. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Officials in financially troubled Grant County have approved a new tax on workers in an effort to avoid having the state take over its finances. The Kentucky Inquirer reports county officials voted 3-1 Thursday to implement a 2% wage tax on workers in the rural community. The newspaper reports that the county risked running out of money by June 1st without the tax. Before the vote, some residents voiced opposition to the plan and vented criticism about how the county's finances could have been handled. Judge Executive Steve Woods says he's been open about the situation and there's a large base of support for the new tax.
Mohawk Industries Incorporated says it is closing a wood flooring manufacturing plant in Mingo County, West Virginia, idling 111 workers. The plant near the Mountain States border with Kentucky will be shut down by May 7th. Company officials say its operations will be moved to a recently upgraded facility in Melbourne, Arkansas. They say the closing reflects a reduction in customer demand for solid wood flooring products. Mohawk Vice President of Human Resources Jerry Hendricks says the company will assist employees with retraining opportunities, job fairs, and unemployment benefits.
A major road project is set to begin in Clark County. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says Mountain Parkway Rehabilitation Project will begin next Wednesday. The project will begin at Interstate 64 and continue to the Stoner Ephesus Overpass. KTC says the project will include bridge repairs, asphalt replacement, and fence maintenance. Oversized vehicles may need to keep an eye out for detour notices. The $5.1 million project is expected to be completed by September 15th.
The Senate has approved a bill intended to improve oversight and operations at the Kentucky Horse Park. We get details from Haley Hansen.
House Bill 403 is finally passed.
The bill was introduced following an audit of the horse park that showed the park was poorly run with little or no oversight. Here's Senator Ralph Alvarado.
There was evidence of poor management of the horse park, self-dealing, favoritism, and losses in excess of $24 million that came straight out of our general fund.
The bill would change the number of commissioners and would confirm Governor Bevin's executive order replacing the board. It passed 28-9. I'm Haley Hansen.
Kentucky's Notary Republic laws are so antiquated they are hurting business. That claim is from State Representative Brian Linder, who is sponsoring legislation he hopes will bring them up to date. The Grant County Republican is calling for those commissioned to witness the signing of documents and administer oaths to be permitted to do so from remote locations through video links.
This would help veterans who are on deployment. This would help business travelers, family members who are living abroad, as they need notaries and may not be able to make it back to the state of Kentucky. This bill will adopt the revised Uniform Law on Notarial Acts, including language allowing for remote notarization. The reason to do this is to modernize and clarify our laws governing notaries.
Linder testified this week before the Senate State and Local Government Committee, which has endorsed his legislation. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, partly cloudy skies, hard freeze expected with temperatures around 20 degrees. Your Saturday, partly cloudy skies during the morning, will become overcast in the afternoon with temperatures near 37 degrees. Saturday night, cloudy skies becoming partly cloudy with temperatures around 22. Your Sunday will be mostly sunny with highs around 42 degrees. Sunday night will be clear, becoming partly cloudy with lows near 25 degrees. Beginning off your week on Monday, increasing clouds with showers arriving sometime in the afternoon, temperatures around 45 and a 60% chance of rain. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 44 degrees in Ashland, 43 degrees in Flemingsburg, 45 degrees in Inez, 46 in Winchester and Lexington, and it is currently 45 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:42 the time. You're tuned into Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us this afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Bodaf. He says lots of things that are dangerous in California are fine everywhere else, but cell phones might be different.
Have you ever noticed that on some products, a label warning appears reading something like this? This product contains chemicals known to cause cancer in California. The running joke is it should be okay to use here since we live in Kentucky. One such warning appeared with California's release of documents recently, enumerating potential hazards of cell phone use. UC Berkeley's School of Public Health Director Joel Moskowitz had to take legal action to get the documents made public, and even though the documents are drafts, the information there is alarming, and taken in context, along with reports coming from elsewhere in the world, cell phone users may wish to take note. Billions of people have adopted the cell phone completely and without question. The social functions it provides are so critical, people lose their minds when deprived. But this is not the sort of danger California was talking about. In its now public documents, the devices themselves may be hazardous in part because of how we use them, but mainly because we use them at all. Dangers enumerated in the California memoranda include cancer and other illnesses related to prolonged exposure to certain types of electromagnetic fields and certain forms of radiation. If California were the only source of the alarm, we might just add it to the joke like we do with bowl cleaner and engine oil, but reports have been coming out of Europe and other parts of the world for more than a decade, warning people of exposure to the sorts of energy cell phones require to operate. The French health minister has issued a public warning, particularly concerned about children being exposed, and while not every expert agrees about the nature or significance of the risks, The drumbeat of warnings from experts is as hard to deny as the warnings about global warming. But people love their phones, even more than cigarettes, I'd imagine. So kicking the habit is going to be hard, particularly when a very well-financed counter-campaign has consistently refuted any warnings and early reports as to so-called potential harms. Just like with cigarettes, people knew of the harms long before the government officially acknowledged them. Are we going to once again wait for decades because our tastes and intellectual sloth outweigh our sensible analysis of risk? Some have stopped carrying the phone, and instead of waiting for the incontrovertible proof that they are dangerous, they are waiting for such proof that they are safe. That's a long time in coming, because the field experiment is ongoing, and you are an unpaid participant. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. 4:45 the time, you're tuned into Mountain Edition. Coming up at 5 o'clock is All Things Considered from NPR. You might hear some of these headlines. A federal judge in Orlando, Florida, has revoked bond for the wife of the Pulse nightclub gunman. At the request of prosecutors, the judge today reversed the decision of a magistrate judge in Oakland, California, to release Noor Salman on a $500,000 bond. The White House says lawyers for Michael Flynn told Donald Trump's transition team before the inauguration that Flynn might need to register with the government as a foreign agent, but a spokesman says Trump himself was not aware of the issue. President Donald Trump's spokesman confirms that Trump today invited Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to the White House. The invitation came during a phone conversation, the first contact between them since Trump took office. Stocks have finished the day higher on Wall Street after the government reported solid job gains in the U.S. last month, and cars with no steering wheel, with nobody at all inside, could be driving themselves on California roads by the end of the year. 4:47 the time, Nathan's been keeping an eye on the sports world. He's coming up in just about 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Eagles battle against the Red Hawks. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, after getting a 12-9 win over conference opponent Southeast Missouri yesterday, the Morehead State baseball team has been wrapping up their series with SEMO today with a doubleheader at Allen Field. In the first contest, the Eagles just wrapped up a 17-5 win over SEMO, and the second contest will begin here shortly. The Morehead State softball team is in doubleheader action with Radford today. In game one earlier today, the Eagles won the first contest 4-2. Currently in the second game of the day, at the bottom of the sixth, the Eagles lead the Highlanders 4-1. MSU and Radford finish up the weekend series tomorrow at noon. The Cincinnati Reds lost their second straight game yesterday to Oakland, falling 12-5. With the season opener just over 3 weeks away, manager Brian Price is expecting big things from starting pitcher Anthony DeSclafani.
I think he's ready to take the next step to becoming really an elite pitcher. He's certainly, you know, our top guy in our rotation, and he has all the things he needs, the demeanor, the stuff, the ability to lead. And for a young guy, I have hopes for him that exceed those of many other guys that we have here.
The Reds get the regular season started with the Phillies on April 3rd. The Kentucky basketball team tipped off their postseason play in the Southeastern Conference tournament with a 71-60 win over Georgia. Freshman guard De'Aaron Fox is proud of the fight his teammates showed today and knows the challenges of the conference tourney.
After the A&M game, they were talking about it, how the tournament is so different. Not only this tournament, but the NCAA tournament is like getting down by 15 like that. It's a lot tougher to come back. And that's just something we tried to work on. We came out here. We executed from the beginning of the game. We got up 20, and they never stopped fighting.
Now 27-5 on the year, the Wildcats will move on to the semifinals where they will play the winner of the Alabama and South Carolina game. Taking a look at some other college basketball scores, the SMU Mustangs will move on to their conference tourney with the 81-77 win over East Carolina, and Michigan hung on to beat Purdue in overtime 74-70. For some games of note for tonight, Seton Hall takes on Villanova at 6:30, Duke will battle North Carolina in ACC action at 7, and in the SEC, Florida will have a contest against Vanderbilt at 7 p.m. as well, and West Virginia will face Kansas State at 9 p.m. And with the girls' Sweet 16 at BB&T Arena, 10th region champs George Rogers Clark fell to Mercer County 58-47. Coach Graham and his Cardinals end the year with a record of 30-4. And taking a look at some NFL offseason notes, former Green Bay defensive end Julius Peppers is returning to the Carolina Panthers, where he started his career for 8 seasons. This will be his 16th season overall. And the Cincinnati Bengals have re-signed cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick to a 5-year deal, and the Colts have cut starting cornerback Patrick Robinson. And finally for today in sports, Kentucky Speedway says Las Vegas gain is really a good thing for them, KNN's Will Clark reports.
The Speedway's losing its September NASCAR Xfinity Series race to Las Vegas, where it'll be part of a new triple-header weekend in 2018. But General Manager Mark Simmendinger says it's a win for fans of the Sparta track.
I think it's only good for race fans. It'll just allow us to continue to build up on July. So I think that can only be a good thing.
He says they're looking at their options for continuing the fall racing date. I'm Will Clark.
That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle baseball will host Southeast Missouri State at 2 p.m. tomorrow and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Softball welcomes Radford for 2 games tomorrow and noon on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities rose in choppy trading following a strong jobs report, while investors were already looking ahead to a Federal Reserve meeting next week. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 44.79. At 20,902.98, the S&P 500 was up 7.73 at 2372.60, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 22.92 at 5861.73. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The Fed is scheduled to meet next week, with most market participants expecting the central bank to tighten U.S. monetary policy. According to the CME, market expectations for a March rate hike, stood at 93%. And interestingly, bond yields today were down and bond prices were up, and also the dollar turned lower. This, of course, was a surprise after the strong jobs report. Some investors were disappointed with the hourly wage growth last month, and the non-farm payroll report showed 235,000 jobs being added in February, which was better than expected. The unemployment rate did tick lower to 4.7%. But again, investors were disappointed with the rate of wage growth, as hourly wages rose at an annual rate of 2.8%. And the 10-year U.S. Treasury, which was just over 2.6%, finished today at 2.58%. West Texas Intermediate futures fell today as oil continued its slide. Today, WTI futures were down 1.6% to settle at $48.49 a barrel, the lowest level since November 29th. Oil prices have been under pressure all week, as they have been actually pressured by oversupply concerns. Overseas, European stocks were mostly higher, with the Pan-European Stock 600 index climbing about 0.1%. In Asia, stocks ended mostly higher, with the Nikkei 225 advancing about 0.7%. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were GE and United Health, and the worst performers were Boeing and Goldman Sachs. Among S&P 500 companies, the best performers were Ulta Salon and Estee Lauder, and the worst performers were TransDigm and SL Green Realty. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 64 cents at 120.56, CSX up 22 cents at 47.80, AEP up 60 cents at 65.44, AK Steel down 11 cents at 7.68, Marathon Petroleum up 58 cents at 49.86, and U.S. Bancorp was up a penny to finish at 54.95. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Fleming, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a hard freeze expected. Temperatures will be around 20 degrees. Your Saturday will be partly sunny with becoming more overcast in the afternoon. Temperatures around 37 degrees. Your Saturday night will be cold with lows around 22 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your Sunday will be mostly sunny with highs around 42 degrees. Sunday night will be clear with becoming partly cloudy with temperatures near 25 degrees. Monday will be cloudy with showers arriving in the afternoon, 60% chance of rain with temperatures around 45 degrees. Monday night, a steady rain early in the day, then remaining cloudy. Lows will be around 36, and that chance of rain is at 90%. Tuesday, rain showers early, mixing with snow showers. Highs around 37, and a 70% chance of precipitation. It's 44 in Ashland, 45 in Inez, 46 in Winchester, and it's 45 here in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this Friday afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Network, Ted Werben and Haley Hansen. Our commentary today came from MSU Speech Professor John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Sean Delaney. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.